producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right, four more segments of the show coming to an assessment of where we are, where we can go. With Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report, go to graylianreport.com to learn more about his radio show and about his columns. Okay. I think there's a listener question about this, Chris, isn't there? The subject that shall not be named, the Roswell slides or the not Roswell slides. Do you think that was one of the real bad points of the past year?
I certainly think it was the most significant UFO headline of the year. Isn't that sad? Let me clarify. The most significant UFO
non-story.
Yeah, it was a non-story, but I've talked about this on a number of radio shows. I guess people are somewhat puzzled why I would say that that's the most significant UFO story of the year. I think it was the UFO story that got the most attention. It was a story which, you know, sadly taught, I hope, the research community a lot more about what not to do than what they should be doing as far as UFO research goes. You know, there's some people who became involved with that, who I have a lot of respect for. There are some individuals who were involved with that that I don't know from Adam's house cat, and others who I've always turned my skeptical eye toward.
I have to look for Adam's house cat.
Yeah, keep an eye out. He's been missing for years.
Actually, I think he's out front here having breakfast.
Oh, really?
There is a cat that has decided to hang out here outside.
His location has finally been triangulated. Well, that's good to know.
Okay. Adam, your house cat is here.
Well, but that said,
we'll take a reward.
Yes. Yes, exactly. For more information about Adam's house cat, contact Gene Steinberg at the Paracast. Better yet, post it in forums.theparacast.com. But I would maintain, yeah, again, that it was a significant story. It taught us a lot about what not to do. I'm sad to hear. I think that there are certain people who've been involved with the Roswell slides debacle that somewhat maintain that there may be still legitimacy to those slides. That is simply not the case. That was a mummy. The thing, you know, the deblurring technology at our disposal today has conclusively shown, I think, that it was actually kept. What was it? The Mesa Verde notes, I think, from 18, I can't remember the year, but published specifically, even the name of the individual, where it had been found. And who it was on loan to the museum from. And that's that. But there was some good research that came out of it. And I was very proud that even before the official release of the slide in question came about, independent researchers, Greg Bishop, Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern had been working with them, and there were a number of others just as well, that had come to a determination within 24 hours. And so what it shows, coming back to something you said earlier, Chris, we need more transparency. Now, in terms of government, the United States, I think, can learn the most from other nations when it comes to transparency on these kind of issues, you know, study of UFOs and anomalous phenomena. But I think that by the same token, even on the civilian level, when there is transparency and there isn't information withheld from the public, we might be able to move forward, because I think that there are people in positions of technological proficiency and people with certain skill sets that may not necessarily be directly involved in the UFO phenomena, that if asked or if put in a position where they had certain data in front of them, a lot of these old cases, maybe some more recent cases too, we may come to new determinations about them. And so I think the need for secrecy, while important maybe at times, is lessened and diminished, and the Roswell slides affair was a good evidence of that.
I'm still trying to plumb my sources here at the Yavapai Cultural Center to get in the back door and pull some DNA evidence and maybe a selfie with the little mummy guy. One thing that I just continually am, whenever that subject came up, I was just shocked that nobody brought up that the thing obviously had been in the ground or had been, you know, for many years had been in a state of desiccation. And if this was from 1947, there's no way in the space of a year or less that body could have ended up looking like that. I mean, that was one thing that nobody hardly ever mentioned, which to me just totally trashed any sort of possible believability about it being something from Roswell, because I mean, it just looked too old. It had been obviously dead for a long, long time.
Interesting point, though. That's because you being a person who I think, you know, has spent a lot of time in museums and been out west and whatnot, you know, most of your life, and have, you know, spent some time around mummified bodies and the like, probably, presumably, I know, having read some of your books, you know, you would recognize a mummy. I don't mean to diminish the intelligence of anyone involved in that affair, but I mean, for most of us, it was obviously a mummy. I think when people get too UFO-centric in their thoughts and their attitudes, you know, they may not have recognized it as what it was so obviously to other people, and therefore, rather than resembling a mummy and a desiccated body, it looked like something that might not have been human, in which case any mummy would look alien to that kind of a mindset. It seems to you or I, but again, I think that it's important that people have a broad, and yes, they need to have an educated background to be able to make those determinations. Of course, it was obvious to you, but you know what a mummy looks like.
Right. Well, I know what a body looks like after it's been in a desert environment for an extended period of time. I mean, it becomes naturally mummified, not with some sort of an Egyptian process where they embalm the bodies with particular types of oils and herbs and that sort of thing. This body obviously had been in a very dry desert environment for quite some time. It was obvious to me. And if it was from 1947, then that totally trashes any sort of connection to an event from that year. But I do still, I'm letting the furor kind of wane a little bit around this, and it is kind of fading, I think, fairly fast now. And I do have a couple of connections with the Yavapai, and I'm still hoping to get in there. I mean, it's literally a half a mile away from me, so I do, through the grapevine, I heard that some TV show showed up unannounced and tried to get access, and they were kind of laughed out of the building. So anyway, I think your point is well taken, that if any good comes from this whole episode, it is, again, as you put it, the, kind of a reminder of how not to do things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a point well taken, I might add. We're going to go on to another couple of questions here. Here's a good one that, I don't think we've ever asked you this, but, I think this is a good question to ask. And basically it's asking the Technomage, who again has been a longtime member of forum.theparacast.com, where he asks questions of our guests. And he's asking, which case or cases have you conducted extensive research on and concluded that a paranormal explanation is the only logical one? And knowing how meticulous you are with your investigative work, I'm going to be very interested to hear your answer.
Well, I've got to be honest. I've never come to the conclusion with anything that I've tried to undertake any serious, rigorous study in relation to. I've never come to the conclusion that, oh my God, there's just no answer. This is something not of this world. This is something paranormal. I don't think that and I hope that this doesn't disappoint anybody. But I don't think that my mind gravitates toward trying to say that there's an unsolvable element to any of this. That doesn't mean that there are not phenomena which currently our understanding of or a level of sophistication in relation to science and technology, it doesn't mean that there aren't certain phenomena that extend beyond that. But, with the acquisition of new information, presumably we will understand these things. In one case I looked into some time ago, and I'll mention this one because it is discussed in my book, The UFO Singularity, and so that can be referenced by people, which, makes me so sick that, there have been people who really don't understand what that book, I think, was about. Again, I was trying to examine UFO literature and kind of compare that with the idea of artificial intelligence, which is the theme throughout that book that is addressed. One skeptical blogger had referred to that book as being about aliens who time travel from the future and other made-up ideas. And I'm just thinking, he hadn't read the book, and I know that for a fact. And it just goes to show the dismissive attitude that people have. Again, I think that culturally, and also through the lens of science fiction, there was a lot of reference to science fiction in that book. It was a thought experiment and now analyzing, motifs that are present and have remained present in UFO literature.
Let's do a little bit more thought experimenting, and then we'll get back with Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
If you're fascinated by UFOs, ancient aliens, archaeological mysteries, ghost hunting, Atlantis, and any other paranormal topic as we are, be sure to check out apmagazine.info each month. Since 1985, it has presented the latest research by top researchers like Andrew Collins, Brad Steiger, and many others, and contains interviews with such leading personalities as Jacques Vallée. Click on one of their banners and check out apmagazine.info. As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
My name is Don Wiskin. In 1994, I lost my 62-year-old father to complications of bypass surgery. In 1977, my 44-year-old brother was found dead in his apartment. He suffered a heart attack. In January of 98, my mother had a stroke and passed away in her bed. 21 days later, my 53-year-old brother passed away on his arrival to the hospital. He waited too long. In June that same year, I almost joined them at 42. What did I do? I took a 7-herb formula I now call Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn, milk thistle, and valerian. Based on German studies of natural medicine, Extendivite is designed to clear blocked arteries, clean the toxins from your blood, and improve your immune system. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Looks like he's got the filter microphone working there. Chris O'Brien, he'll soon be the shadow. Micah Hanks is with us. Thought experiments indeed, like crypto-terrestrials from Mac Tony's. Of course, that's a way to get away with something, too. You say, well, I didn't really mean this. It's just a thought experiment.
Right. I'm going to put a bunch of ideas out there, and I don't mean any of this, but I just, you know, I'm just going to put it out there anyway. I like to think that, you know, I can own my theories, and I want to come back around to the question about, you know, have I come to that determination, and if so, you know, what cases have I studied that might indicate this or that? In regard to the idea of a thought experiment, I think it's fine to have a thought experiment, but I do think it has to have some sort of relation to what your actual beliefs or your theories, you know, may be in a more hardline way. And I will say that there are a lot of things I've written over the years that, frankly, as my skepticism toward the subject has increased over time, I would endorse certain things that I've written in the past far less than I would today. But that's a good thing, I think. I think it's important that as we move along, our ideas and attitudes change. A big problem I see in UFO circles, especially these days, is that people have been citing the same speculative quote-unquote theories for years, and they have no better evidence to support those things than they did years ago. They maintain this quote-unquote perspective, which really has just become a belief. It's like a spirituality. It's like a religion for them.
Wow.
And the fact that I disagree so much with maybe certain things that I've written over the years, for instance, I'll give you an example. I have speculated at times that maybe a more likely reality, I guess we might call it, underlying UFOs could be in some instances some sort of time travel. In fairness, Carl Sagan, on the other hand, has said that he had found, and there's an interview where you can see this online, where Sagan had found the idea that there's no evidence of time travel dubious. He said, it may be that time travel is possible, but that we have mistaken another phenomena for it, perhaps ghosts or even UFOs, but we couldn't necessarily say that there's no proof of time travel because we've seen no evidence of it. Now, again, I don't think that Sagan was trying to make a good case for the existence of UFOs and saying that they were time travelers. That was him, I think, engaging in something of a thought experiment. He was merely saying it could be that time travel, if there's evidence that we would see of it today, we have not recognized it as being that evidence. Nonetheless, taking on a general understanding of general relativity, I also recognize that while it is apparently a generic time travel, a generic element that is consistent with a lot of different areas of relativity, and is something written about by J. Richard Gott and by Paul Davies and a number of others, you know, time travel is something that theoretically could work in terms of general relativity. It's extremely difficult to achieve. Maybe one day it will be achieved, but it seems less likely to me that UFOs are perhaps that. So coming back to that book, The UFO Singularity, that was something that I did talk about loosely, and I was trying to interpret it not as literal time travel, but I've come even further away from that than I might have held myself to at the time that the book was written. But the case that I looked at in the book that was a little more on the real-world side of things rather than the speculative science fiction side was Mike Reese's encounter, which involved him seeing a disc-shaped UFO hovering over a power substation back in 1973. And actually, I've interviewed him, but he wasn't the only witness. His sister and his wife at the time and their children were there. They all saw this thing. And it was remarkably similar to an incident that occurred just a couple of years ago where a BBC News sports affiliate was driving along to catch a red-eye flight early in the morning. He was traveling down a country road and driving behind a Volkswagen van, and he said, as he called into the radio program to talk about it, and it's still online, you can hear it, he said, I loathe to say it, but it was disc-shaped. And he described a saucer shape with lights around the perimeter of the disc, and it drifted rather slowly over the highway. He said, I'm begging whoever was in that van in front of me to call in and to please identify themselves because I know they had seen this thing as well. And so these craft appear to still be seen today, and it's interesting because we do have the idea of a flying saucer that during the Blue Book years, Edward Ruppelt had said, you know, we really should start calling these things UFOs. Unidentified flying object is a better catch-all because they aren't all disc-shaped, but some UFO reports and rather credible observations do involve disc-shaped or roughly disc-shaped craft. That's what was seen in 1973 by Mike Reese, but after we traveled to the location and we took photographs, and people said, Micah, that was 1973. Why would you study something that happened back then? Well, I felt I had a credible multiple witness encounter, and I was interested in getting as much information about what they said that they saw. One thing they described that was interesting to me was they said that it looked like a white light when they saw it off in the distance, but as it was hovering over the road, Mike distinctly remembered, he said that the lights were blue, green, and red. And, of course, you know, we know that the additive color theory of light is that, you know, when you combine those three primary colors of light, you get white light. And it seemed to indicate to me that from a distance, it may have been the case that perhaps this object was spinning or some other kind of mechanism was causing the blending of light coloration to appear white from a distance. And so that told us something about the possible mode in which the craft move, but he had already said that the light seemed to be moving in sequence around, which gave the impression that there was like a centrifuge or that the craft itself was actually rotating or turning. And I said, you know, this is interesting, but having actually observed this thing, I mean, did you get the impression that this thing was something so far out that it couldn't have been human? He said, my gut tells me that there were people on board that craft. This didn't look like something that couldn't have been built on Earth. It's just not a technology that is known to exist on Earth. And that's, again, where I have to stand. When you dig into these kind of cases, I haven't found compelling evidence that what we're dealing with is something that could not be from Earth. But if it is from Earth, the important point we have to make is that it is not any kind of known technology. Whereas modern scientists, many physicists would say that what is described in UFO reports really is something that could not exist in accordance with the laws of physics. Now, that may be a bit more of a stretch than to say that these things could be here from Earth, you know, rather than being alien to me, which is kind of funny because as you see the different warring factions, you can get to a point of skepticism to where you rule out any possibility whatsoever because it just doesn't seem to conform to your worldview and your knowledge of science and mechanics. You know, whereas on the opposite extreme, we see people saying the exact same thing, and therefore it must be alien. Somewhere in the middle, maybe the possibility does exist that there is technology and that there are phenomena that people do see from time to time, but that they are perhaps more real and tangible to this world than people are willing to consider.
Yeah, good point. And some of the older cases that haven't been thoroughly investigated and researched, I think, are worthy of this, especially cases from that seminal year of 73 when one of the most extensive UFO waves on record occurred worldwide, not only in the United States and the Midwest and on the river valleys of the Midwest and Southeast, but it was a global event. And that's right when the Vietnam War was winding up and, you know, of course, Watergate was happening. There was a lot of interesting cultural things that were going on subsequently to that. So, you know, I agree that some of these older cases, for some of you new aspiring investigators out there, if you stumble on what appears to be a good case, just because it's from the past doesn't mean that it's not as relevant as a case that happened last week. I think a lot of very good information can be obtained from some of these older cases. And Micah, you just gave a classic example of how to go about doing that. And it does take some work. You know, if it goes back too far, obviously people aren't going to be around to talk to. So,
right.
So get on your hobby horses.
Well, to be fair, there would be people who would say, no. You know, seriously, you're not going to find any evidence of radiation. You're not going to find any kind of marks, you know, any kind of satellite imagery or any kind of, you know, thermal, anything that's going to be used.
Well, physical evidence, yeah. But
and that's what many would say is that, you know, if you're looking at something that's decades old, you're not going to learn anything. Now, what I felt was different about, for instance, the story that Mike told me. In Mike Reese's encounter, he describes, again, characteristics that involve the light, the apparent rotation of the craft, the fact that it was hovering over a power substation, which is a recurring motif in a lot of different UFO observations over the years, the fact that there had been other reports of an object seen because it passed over the what would the interstate be there? I don't recall, but this was just south of Atlanta, Georgia.
More to come with Micah Hanks and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't take on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Don't come
complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows, pause and rewind live TV, even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Micah Hanks, you were saying about this case that happened near Atlanta, Georgia?
Yes, and again, the only point I was trying to make about this case is that, again, there were enough aspects about the behavior of the object that was observed that to me helped, I wouldn't even really call it detective work, I would just say thinking carefully enough about what was described led me to some observations about this craft, namely that there seemed to be, again, a rotational component to the way that it moved, presumably that the faster the rotation, or rather that the object rotated more quickly when it was actually moving rather than when it was apparently hovering, as it had appeared to be doing over this power substation. It is interesting that people have reported over the years the number of UFOs that are seen hovering over power lines, hovering over power substations, all different kinds of things like this. And I do recall reading, I don't remember if this was, I know it had cited Nikola Tesla in an interview that I believe it appeared Electrical Experimenter magazine. I'm trying to remember the source of the actual article, but it had been speculating about an aircraft that Tesla had made noises about wanting to build throughout his life, which essentially would have been something along the lines of a long kind of a cylindrical or kind of a cigar-shaped aircraft. He believed that he could utilize electrical forces alone to lift and to move an aircraft through the air that he felt would be far more efficient in its maneuverability. Even actually the power input needed in order to power this thing. Tesla was convinced that something like this could be built, and when airplanes were coming to prominence and were becoming you know, the way of the future, Tesla was laughing, and he never said much about this craft, but there certainly are references to it in interviews, little though they were, and he had maintained that over the years he would be able to build an aircraft, an electric spacecraft, essentially, that would outdo anything that we knew. And what he described, what was envisioned, and they were, you know, rough images and things like that. Actually, some of them were quite artistic, but nonetheless they were rough because they weren't really intelligent schematics or anything along those lines. If any existed, many have proposed that perhaps these would have been captured along with the documents and the other possessions that were kept by Tesla at the time of his death, and which the United States military acquired. Which, interestingly, I think that they were acquired under the – it was the alien I can't remember, but it's interesting because he was an American citizen, and nonetheless – the circumstances under which those files, I have to get this information, I don't want to misspeak here, but the acquisition by the military of the files had been under the auspices of how they would have been treated had he not been a U.S. citizen, which is rather strange. He was from Serbia, but of course he had, you know, immigrated and was a U.S. citizen at the time that he died. So if there was any actual schematic, if there was anything more than just, you know, the meanderings of his mind that he would bring forth during interviews at times, we will maybe never know, but it seemed that Tesla certainly believed that an electric spacecraft along those lines could be built. You know, again, something that would have exceeded the kind of technology that we knew of that day, and perhaps even of the modern era. It would have been fascinating had he ever actually built that.
Isn't it interesting that the technology we use today for spacecraft is based on the same technology we were working with back in the 40s?
Oh, yeah. See, that's what's weird is that Tesla, many said, had a different way of conceiving of things mechanically and envisioning in his mind. And speculation about his craft, by the way, I should point out, tying it back to the Mike Reese encounter. In the article, I'll have to find this. I'm going to have to find it and post it in the Paracast forum so that people can read this. But it was speculated that such a craft could possibly recharge its electrical potential by hovering near a high-yield electromagnetic field, which seemed very interesting to me because it sounded very similar to the behavior in the Mike Reese encounter, the thing hovering over a power substation. And one would ask if, you know, if there's some sort of a practical need for an aircraft like this to hover over a power source, would that explain why UFOs are often seen doing just that? In some instances, especially, you know, the advent of the nuclear era, there were a lot of reports of UFO-type craft hovering over nuclear power sources and the like. But if we're talking about electromagnetic aircraft of any kind, you know, something similar to what Tesla had envisioned, it seems unlikely to me that they would hover over a nuclear power source. But nonetheless, as you point out, Gene, yeah, what we're dealing with today still really kind of hails back to the rocket technology and technologies capable of, you know, reaching an escape velocity that can actually get us further, you know, far enough up into the atmosphere that we can actually escape the gravitational pull of the Earth. Rocket thrust being really the only way that we do that. Tesla, of course, had envisioned other things. Whether anyone anywhere at any time has ever seen any of those things to fruition really is a mystery. Many say it's unlikely, but when you think about these UFO reports, sometimes it seems less likely and maybe at least a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, well, very much so. When you go on a rocket today, it's like sitting atop a bomb.
Well, it goes back to medieval China. I mean, hello, you know, the invention of gunpowder and rockets goes all the way back to, the 5th or 6th century in China. Of course, they were just used for entertainment back then. They weren't weaponized like as it was later, and then used as a kind of a stepping off point for rocket technology. But, you know, we could get into a bunch of stuff and talk about Jack Parsons and solid fuel, and it dovetails into a whole nother show that we're going to have Micah back on. But I wanted to kind of shift gears a little bit here. And you know, we've been seeing more and more talk of black-eyed children, Slenderman, which seem to be modern sort of urban myths that are almost manifesting themselves in peculiar ways. But here's one Wade wants to know. Of course, Wade's been a longtime poster at forum.theparacast.com. He's just passed the 4,000 post mark, I must say. He's up there in posts. He wants to know about the clown phenomena. Is it more than just a bunch of pranksters, somebody creating a cultural meme and people disguising themselves because of their criminal intent? Now, I'm assuming he's talking about these crazy clowns that are seen driving around and peeking in windows and not the current crop of Republican potential nominees for the presidency of the country. Because, you know, if you're talking about clowns, it's hard not to go in that direction.
Well, before you continue, let me just tell Mike, if you haven't heard this, I paraphrase the phrase from one of Charles Fort's book, A Procession of the Damned, and I call them A Procession of the Dumb. Go ahead, Chris.
So yeah, that was my my little sort of op-ed opportunity there. But then Flatwoods has another question too that's that kind of dovetails from that little sort of non sequitur. Two words: disclosure. Trump. First of all, let's talk about the clowns. I mean, what's up with these guys? I mean, of course, the clown is a modern personification of the trickster archetype, but, you know, we don't want to go there. What do you think? I mean, I've seen some pretty spooky photographs online of clowns in cars, and it's becoming more and more frequent, people claiming that these really sinister clowns are lurking about. What do you make of that?
Well, now 2015 certainly was a year with a lot of these maniacal clown sightings. Every single instance, of course, that I looked into, and I looked into everyone that I could find, because you know, not that I attribute there being anything paranormal or weird to it, but there is a bit of a history to this and its possible link. You know, the appearance of the weird, the phantom clown, I think maybe is the term that was used. Lauren Coleman is one who's written about this. Jerry Clark may have written about it at some point as well, but I think that Coleman was the primary chronicler of this in terms of modern Fortiana. For that reason alone, I've followed it, and also because it makes for a humorous headline, you know, on a podcast like mine, or this one for that matter. But in every instance that I looked into, it was attributed, I think, that a number of them were happening around Humboldt County, I think, maybe in California, and that there had been a teenager who had been the perpetrator in one of the instances. Some of the photographs appearing online, strangely, had actually been a gentleman whose wife was doing an art photography project, which involved him dressed as a clown, posing in different playgrounds and things. And people had seen this and thought it was rather strange. There were a couple of other instances, I think, where there had been people who were just dressing up and standing around and staring at people. One of the incidents, I think, had been identified as an individual who had been inspired somewhat by a character that appeared recently on the television program American Horror Story. So for me, what's the most interesting element here is the recurring interest that people have in this kind of this weird phantom clown thing, rather than there being some sort of a phenomena underlying it. Although, again, you know, as we talk about the way that pop culture and mythology influence the masses over time, the clown is, I think, you know, once again, recurring motif that goes back to the idea, like you already pointed out, of the trickster element. You know, the clown is the trickster. The clown, whether it be Punch, you know, whether it be in any number of different clowns that have appeared in
classic. My favorite is Krusty the Clown from The Simpsons.
We'll go into another kind of clown in a moment with Gina and Chris and Micah Hanks. One more segment, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Rainier Distillers designs and builds custom copper stills for home purification of water, distilling alcohol, essential oils, cannabis oil, and ethanol fuel. Use these distillers at home to remove all those nasty chemicals that are added to your public drinking water by fluoridation, resulting in pure, safe drinking water for you and your family. Call RainierDistillers.com at 360-446-8998 and check out their website at RainierDistillers.com, located in Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Oh, the trickster is amongst us with Chris O'Brien, Gene Steinberg, Micah Hanks. Go ahead, Micah.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, again, I think, what else can you say about clowns? I mean, people are fascinated with them, and they put on the suits, but I don't think that there's, you know, necessarily something paranormal about it. I think we also look back at 2015, and we think about the Slender Man thing, namely the two young girls, preteens, or if memory serves, who attempted to murder a friend of theirs because they wanted to be proxies of Slender. To me, there's obviously not an actual paranormal entity. I mean, the creator of the so-called Slender Man came forward and talked about, you know, the creation of the legend on social, actually it wasn't social media, it was the Creepypasta website. But it's fascinating to me that, you know,
Creepy what?
The website, I think, is called Creepypasta. Yeah. And this had been the origin of the Slender Man.
So we're going to check what's on their noodle.
Yeah, exactly. Or at least what's on mine at the moment, I guess, you know. His mind continues to cook and pouring over these strange paranormal possibilities. But we see, even in modern times, even in this very, I think, I'm not trying to, you know, sound like we're living in an undeniably post-theocracy, but I do think that, you know, people adhere far less to what they perceive directly as myth and spirituality, you know, and there's a certain secularism to our culture here in the West today, and yet we seem to be as susceptible today, if not more so, thanks in part to social media and the web. We seem every bit as susceptible to the power of myth as we ever were, which really interestingly kind of brings it all full circle, because we've seen it with Star Wars. We question whether science fiction influences belief in things like UFOs. We question whether trends in sci-fi and the regurgitation of, you know, yesteryear's sci-fi, or maybe I should say perhaps like the phoenix, you know, burning itself and rising from the ashes, maybe the regeneration of sci-fi motifs for a new era into new faces and new eras and new ways of presentation. You know, we do seem to see a similar component there with regard to UFO research and everything. And it seems that we, in terms of our fundamental operation, in terms of the archetypal nature of our inner selves, you know, our unconscious mind. There are a lot of ways that myth very much still affects us, and we seem to be as much, if not more, susceptible to those kinds of influences, which is both disturbing but also fascinating. And it shows that perhaps the most that we can hope to learn about the interrelationship between humankind and the phenomena that yet eludes us is what role our mind and our consciousness plays in all of that. And that's the big mystery. We really still don't have the full, clear picture on that.
You know, what bothers me in general about how things are going these days is that so many things are spread in popular culture, shown to be lies, but surprisingly large numbers of people believe those lies. So how do you get anywhere from here to there if fundamentals of a basic truth about anything are ignored?
That's a good question.
For example, what is it? 30-40% of Republicans believe that Barack Obama, president of the United States, like him or not, that he's not an American, that he lied about his religion.
Well, you know, I'll say this. If the Congress deems the man to have been eligible for the presidency of the United States, well, I will rest with the decision made by the Congress in terms of the constitutionality and the legality of his presidency. Although, to me, I guess that, you know, by now, that's fairly a non-issue. There was a time when there was... It's funny because there was a big, you know, there was a huge stink made about that at the time that it was actually in the news. Funny enough, on the day coinciding with the release of the long-form birth certificates, it was what was called a certificate of live birth that was actually released for President Obama. On that same day, I guess I have to say, admittedly, I'm going a little down the conspiracy path right now, but on that same day, the United States Federal Reserve held their first ever public press conference about the workings of the Fed and what the projections, what was going on, public discussion of their minutes. And so I found that to be rather interesting that topic A that day was Obama releasing this certificate of live birth and all this, whereas, you know, on that same day, there was this historic press conference being held by the Federal Reserve that even the talk radio hosts here in Asheville were ignoring. And I was like, guys, you know, have any of you read The Creature from Jekyll Island? Have any of you ever doubted the hijacking of the U.S. monetary system? You know, anyone who thinks that that's just a conspiracy theory, it doesn't have to be viewed as conspiracy. Again, think about it. Prior to the Second World War, no one would have said, oh, what, you mean withholding of taxes throughout the year and then we get a tax return? No one would have bought into that. But it was considered to be something that was a worthwhile endeavor and even a necessity during the Second World War in order to aid the war effort. Problem is, you know, during that period, of course, when you kept your money and paid your taxes at the end of the year, whatever you held, you could keep in your bank or in a CD or whatever, and you could, you know, you could accrue interest on it throughout the year. You can't do that anymore, can you? Notice we never repealed that. We still have a progressive income tax where also, you know, that money is withheld from you throughout the year. You don't get it back until the end of the year unless you're self-employed like me, but I still have to pay a fairly exorbitant rate. Nobody seems to question these things, forgotten from memory, and nobody wants to pay attention to it, even when the Fed goes and says, for the first time in history, we're going to make our private decisions somewhat public during a press release.
You know, I wanted to add one thing about the birther controversy. Nobody complains about Ted Cruz, who was born in Canada, of a mother who was born in America, therefore supposedly meeting the requirement of being a natural-born citizen because he's an American by virtue of his mother being someone who was born here. His father was born in Cuba, I think. Now, even if Barack Obama's father born in Kenya, and even if Barack Obama was born in Kenya and not in America, because his mother was an American citizen born in America, the same logic would hold.
Yeah, I think it was the same way for John McCain, if memory serves, or something.
Right, but he was born on a U.S. military installation.
That's right.
That's different. Here we're talking about one person totally accepted who was not born in this country, but his mother was born in America.
Right. Yeah.
And therefore, he's a citizen by virtue of that. Whereas with Obama, he was born in Hawaii. But even if the theory was true, it would be the same thing. But
little cognitive dissonance going on there.
Oh, yeah. They don't even talk about it anymore. But the birther conspiracy still exists. We got a minute left.
Oh, wow.
Okay, a one-word answer. Disclosure, Trump.
No. There's my one-word response. No. Take that to mean whatever you may.
Oh, I don't want to disclose anything about Trump. I know what you mean. I'm just being silly.
Go ahead and expose his hairdo if you would, though.
Yeah, maybe he'll put a bounty of $1 billion on slam dunk data.
Right. Yeah, one would hope.
Yeah. Micah, you're always it's so great to have you on. You're one of my all-time favorite guests to have on the show, and much luck in 2016 with the Grayling Report and all your projects and the musical career and everything. And we look forward to having you back.
I look forward, as always, to returning. You guys are wonderful. It's always good to talk and great to wrap up 2015 in good company. Gents, keep up the good work, okay?
If our listeners need to get in touch with you, where do they go?
Two places, MicahHanks.com and also GraylingReport.com. info@MicahHanks.com is the email to reach me.
You can find us on Twitter, where we're known as The Paracast. Look for The Paracast on Twitter. If you follow Facebook, which I just think is a messy place, my wife spends lots of time in Facebook, and the interface is from you know where. In any case, we have two Paracast fan clubs, and because of the peculiarities of Facebook, if we wanted to merge them into one, we have to kill the contents of the other. Can you imagine that? It's just foolish. I even sent a tech support request to Facebook about displaying the wrong icon on listings from our other radio show, The Tech Night Out Live, and they never bothered to respond. Maybe they're off for a couple of years because they stayed over because of the holidays. We have that other special feature of the show called The Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. It's where you subscribe and get the ad-free version of this show. We ditch 41 minutes of network commercials. We offer the After the Paracast podcast exclusive to Paracast Plus subscribers. It's wrap-up, it's color commentary, it's special interviews. We never know from one show to the next what's going to happen, and sometimes it gets pretty wild and pretty woolly, especially when one or both of us is a little bit frustrated about the state of anything. We'll express it there. For long-term subscriptions, we still have the free e-books. So check it out. Go to plus.theparacast.com. Once again, that's plus.theparacast.com. Subscribe month to month. Subscribe for a year, 5 years, or lifetime. So when I'm walking on the cane and in the wheelchair and can't keep up, we'll still be here. Somehow. Some way. Micah Hanks, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Always a pleasure, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.